You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope that you're ready to lean in and engage with all that God has for us this morning. It's a great day. It's always a great day when we get to come together, but it's also a great day because this morning when I came to work, I was feeling like, okay, I need a little pick-me-up. And I didn't want something from the hiccup because I didn't want something hot because of this weather. Who knows what's happening? So I went to the drink machine, and they took out my Dr. Pepper machine, so thanks, Joe. And so I looked at the other one. I'm like, okay, it's all these healthy waters. Yeah, that's not going to do it. There's some Poppy, but that sounds too nice. Let's go for an Alani. So I pressed A1, the Alani came out, but not just one, but two. I'm like, yes, Lord, double portion. You are God of abundance. Let's go. I did not drink both of them, but my heart, I did drink one, and my heart is racing, so let's go. I'll try not to run around the stage this morning, but this sermon will be powered by the Holy Spirit and fueled by Alani, so I hope you're ready for that. In the Banter family, my siblings, our siblings said, we are the youngest first cousins by a lot. Like, my oldest first cousin is over 30 years older than my younger brother. So we didn't grow up at the same time. We didn't grow up in the same proximity. I grew up in Georgia. My family, my Banter family, is in Indiana. But every time, every Sunday, the Banter family had a tradition. If you were there, you had Sunday lunch at my grandmother's house. And my grandmother's house was at best 900 square feet. So there's a lot of Banters in a very small place. The dining room was barely big enough for six people to sit there. So then came the infamous kids' table. Yeah, you know. The kids' table is kind of like the wild, wild west of places. Anything goes, especially with my cousins. I'm not sure. These stories have been verified by my aunts and uncles. We were never allowed to get along with these things, but somehow they did. Stories of pushing and fighting, stories of laughter and tears, and somehow there was always mashed potatoes on the ceiling. Multiple times. Like, every week, I think my cousins had a game to see how much mashed potatoes could get on the walls and on the ceilings. And these stories have become infamous in our life. Every time we have mashed potatoes as a Banter family, that story is always told. Because anything goes at the kids' table. Now, this kids' table, this is Lincoln and Harry Massengill, so thank you, Lincoln and Harry, for that. If they were here, they would sit down and it would make sense, right? They would fit. No one would think twice about them sitting at the kids' table. We're going to pray this chair holds. But it doesn't quite make sense for me anymore, right? I don't fit. This isn't comfortable. It doesn't make sense. I don't belong here. But Lincoln and Harry, they do. And this morning we're going to talk about belonging. And I know, you're like, again? So you can go ahead and give a collective eye roll. I'll give you 5 seconds. Again, we're going to talk about belonging here. You and me. Because quite frankly, you do belong here. Every single one of you received a piece of paper that says, you belong here. We choose you. You went through an application process. You had to submit forms and transcripts. Some of you went through an interview process. A committee met about you, reviewed all of your credentials, all of your qualifications. They prayed about it. And then you either got a phone call or a letter with Jared Miller's signature that said, you belong here. We choose you. You meet all the fulfillments, all the requirements of what it means to be an Asbury student. And somewhere along the way, you received that letter, you looked at it, you looked at our mission, you looked at our vision, you looked at our academic requirements, you looked at our community standards and said, I choose you. We chose you, and then you chose us. As staff and faculty members, the same thing happens. We saw a job listing, we applied, we submitted an application, they sent us more questions, we submitted those questions, they sent us more questions, we submitted those questions, and it was a process. We had to sign that says, yes, we believe in the statement of faith of Asbury. Yes, we believe in the human sexuality statement. We say we would belong here. And then we went through an interview process. My interview, my first interview was 11 and a half years ago. It began with a dinner that night with Pastor Greg and his wife. The next day from 8 to 5, I had interviews. And the next morning, I had a breakfast interview with Paul Stevens. They really wanted to make sure that I was a good fit. Because they chose me, and then I chose them. It matters when we say you belong here. Not just because you belong here, but because you belong here. You have a place here. Your story matters here. You matter here. And yet at the same time, I feel like the more that we have talked about you belong here, more that we have said, yes, belonging is a value to us, it's like the enemy has waged war against our sense of belonging here. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it in my life, and I'm tired of watching it in yours. And I'm here to say today, not on our watch. Time's up for the enemy to say, I'm coming after your belonging. Because I've been in a lot of communities before, and I've never seen a wage against belonging more pervasive and stronger than it's here. That's something that's not to be afraid about, but it's something to take notice of, because we have everything that we need to stand against it in Christ Jesus. I feel like somewhere along the way, the enemy has duped us. And he said, hey, there's an idolized version of what it means to be an Asbury student, what it means to be an Asbury staff or faculty member. And in us portraying this ideal Asburyan, we've also believed the lie, that's not me. We predetermined, that's not me. I've heard it for 11 and a half years as a staff member. I heard it for 4 years as a student. This pervasive, I don't belong here. I don't belong here because no one would understand my story. I don't belong here because I'm not like everyone else. I don't belong here because no one would understand. And we might not understand, but we would love to have the opportunity to try, to hear you, to hear your story, to hear what you've walked through, because you belong here. That's often followed up by more specifics of why you feel like you don't belong here. I don't belong here because I come from a broken family. I don't belong here because I didn't grow up in church. I don't belong here because I'm not a believer. I don't belong here because I'm too conservative. I don't belong here because I'm too liberal. I don't belong here because I vote Republican. I don't belong here because I vote Democrat. I don't belong here because I battled addiction. I don't belong here because I've been abused. I don't belong here. Lies from the very pit of hell. There's no idolized version of an Asburyan. It's why I hate when we talk about the Asbury bubble. I get it. I do. I understand why we say that. We do things differently here, by design, by purpose. We long to be set apart to show the world our love for God and our love for neighbor. But oftentimes when we say the Asbury bubble, what the enemy does is he tricks us. He said, well, then, if there's a bubble, then there must not be anything hard in there. Must not be anything hard or difficult, but that's quite the opposite. You see, the common Asbury story of staff members and faculty members and new students is living in the effects of a fallen world. We all deal with that, every single one of us. The common Asbury story is one of suffering, pain, heartache, loss. In this room right now, there are people dealing with the effects of loss and suicide, abuse, and mental health struggles. There's people in this room right now struggling with ongoing medical conditions that are debilitating, seen and unseen. There are people in this room right now who struggle with anxiety, depression, and daily suicidal ideation. There are people in this room right now who come from broken families, whose family members are in prison, whose families are hostile and divided. There are people in this room right now who are undergoing treatments. There are people in this room right now who've been hurt by people in the church. There are people in this room right now who wrestle and question if God really is there, if he cares. Does he even hear us? There's no bubble in the stories in this room. When people say there's an Asbury bubble, I said, then you don't know your neighbor. You don't know your neighbor. Because there's no bubbles around the stories of the people in this room. And there's no bubble around my story either. This idolized Asburian that the enemy keeps in front of us, that helps us measure that we're not it, I would have been the perfect candidate for that. Third generation Asburian. My grandmother was here at the 1950s revival. I grew up in a church connected to Asbury. My youth pastor went to Asbury. I went to 2 holiness camp meetings for 2 summers every year of my life. That should count for something. My resume was strong for ideal Asbury student. And yet the enemy duped me too. When I came back to Christ my freshman year, he used that resume against me. See? That's who everybody thought you were. You can't tell them the truth. You can't tell them about those things. You know, those things. Because you're the perfect Asburian. You have the resume. You got to keep it hidden. You got to keep it silent. You don't belong here. Because here's what happens when we feel like we don't belong. It keeps us from that John 17 unity that Dr. Brown talked about on Monday. It makes it an unrealistic expectation. It can't happen. I don't belong here. It keeps us at arm's length from one another. It keeps us in a posture of suspicion and distrust. I don't belong here. It keeps us thinking about, well, if I don't belong here, then there's us, and then there's them. You know, those Asburians. And it keeps us from bringing our full selves into community. And that's exactly what happened to me. I started pursuing Christ while the whispers on the enemy became screams. You don't belong here. Keep it quiet. Keep your past a secret. That will discredit you. That will disqualify you. So my pursuit of Jesus became running after him. But it looked like performance, seeking approval, doing all the right things, trying to outgood work, my disqualifying past. My sophomore and junior year here at Asbury, they were dangerous for my faith. Dangerous. Because those lies kept coming. And I broke the cardinal rule. I entertained them. I stopped and listened to the voice of the enemy instead of the voice of my father. I didn't just entertain them. I started to believe them, which kept me in a faster pursuit of performance and approval. I had to earn this love. I had to earn this belonging. So I started working through the Asbury checklist. You probably have one too. If I do all of these things, then finally I'll belong. Finally I'll be that perfect Asburian. So I became an RA. Check. Work in the church nursery. Check. Go on a mission trip. Check. Serve on WGM cabinet. Check. I was doing all the right things, but I was dying. And maybe you feel that way too. You know, you had a moment during the outpouring. Yes, Jesus, here I am. And the last 2 years haven't looked anything like you thought they would. Maybe you had a moment set apart or here at the altar. You said yes, but then it became about performance and perfection. It became about earning and doing good works. That whole time, what the enemy was doing was sowing seeds of deception and disillusionment and doubt. And my life had become a well-watered garden of disillusionment, full of lies. And it took a lot to maintain them. And it kept me trapped. It kept me enslaved to these doubts and lies and fears. That all began to unravel between the summer of my junior and senior year. A friend graciously confronted me. She called out my pursuit of trying to win God and others' approval by my good works. I was trying to earn love and acceptance. And she called me on the carpet. She called out my relentless running and hiding. See, everybody knew me, but nobody knew me. Because I had to keep it all at arm's length. And what she did was she opened a door for me of grace and love and vulnerability. And I thought, this is my undoing. So my first reaction was to justify. I had really good reasons for doing what I was doing. And they were good things. Like, how could you come against these good things? I wanted to deny it. That's not really what's happening. I wanted to hide. I wanted to run away. But honestly, it was a gift. And it was such a relief. Finally, it was going to be all out in the open. And I was certain that now that it's all in the open, that would be my undoing. That reckoning of grace and truth needed to put flesh on. It couldn't just be a moment of sorrow and repentance. I needed to walk it out, not in a pursuit of doing more things, but in a pursuit of surrender and help. I came back to campus my senior year. I was the ARD of Kresge, and I set my RD down the first day and said, here's my life. Here's it all. Here's all of it. She said, great, now we can finally do something. I signed up for counseling my first week of school. I started to be honest and vulnerable with my friends. I found a mentor who pointed me to the Word of God and how to study the Word of God, and also modeled for me friendship with Christ. I thought this was going to be my undoing. I thought this was a moment that finally everything was out in the open. All of my disqualifications, all the things that would discredit me, it's there. But what it actually was the beginning. It was the beginning. It was the beginning of me knowing that I'm fully loved and fully known by God and also by community. It was the beginning of learning to receive grace and forgiveness, and not just receive it, give it. It was the beginning of me learning that God is who he says he is, and that he's good and he's kind to me. It was the beginning of learning to walk in the Spirit, knowing that in the Spirit I could begin to have victory over sin. It was the beginning of learning accountability, things that I still have in place in my life today. It was the beginning of moving past superficial friendship. It was the beginning of falling in love with God's Word. It's the beginning of learning that I love serving him, not because I have to, not because I want his approval, but out of his great love for me, I long to. I long to. It was the beginning of Jesus walking through that garden of disillusionment and doubt and lies and carefully and meticulously uprooting each one of them. Jesus is good and he's kind. But that process was painful. There was grief and there was sorrow over things I had done and things that had been done to me. I had to learn how to walk out of shame and out of fear. Most days that was wobbly at best. But it was the beginning of learning to trust that Jesus is a good gardener. And he didn't just uproot those things from my life. That would have been enough. But he's a God of abundance. Instead of just uprooting them, he began to plant truth, seeds of truth in my life about who he was, about his character, about his nature, about his heart for me. And then he began to plant seeds that would show me who I am to him. That's crazy. That's how good and kind he is. It was just the beginning. It was the beginning of my belonging. It was the beginning of realizing belonging had nothing to do with me. What a gift. It's not about my resume. It's not about all the bad things I've done. It's not about what's been done to me. Belonging is about the work of God in my life, about who God is. It's the work of the finished work of Christ on the cross. That's our belonging. You belong here. I belong here. You're like, wait a second, I thought we were just talking about Asbury. I am, and I'm not. Bear with me for just a second. The enemy, quick review, What do we know about the enemy? We know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It says that in John 10. We hear in John 8 that when he speaks, he lies. And when he lies, that's his native tongue. 1 Peter 5 says that the enemy prowls around like a lion waiting to devour you. And in Genesis 3, we learn that the enemy is crafty above all else. That's who the enemy is. But our God, Jesus, if the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, it says in John 10, John 10 says that Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. So anything that is going to bring about life and fullness to you, guess what? The enemy hates. Guess what will bring life and fullness to you in Christ Jesus? Belonging. Why does the enemy care about your sense of belonging? Because it matters. Because it brings life to you. Just a 5-second glance on Google AI. What are the benefits of belonging? I did it, 5 minutes. All of the good receptors in your body dump good chemicals that make you feel like you belong, that calm your nervous system. It takes away the pressure of being alone. You feel less anxiety and depression. You get better sleep. Your cardiovascular health increases. This is just what science says. When you belong, your body says, oh, I can be at rest. And all those perceived threats around you are lessened because you belong and you're supported. Just by that mere fact alone, the enemy can't stand it. But in Christian community, when you belong, you flourish. You flourish. You come to life. All of those places that were hidden can now be known and loved and receive grace and healing. Don't you see it? Don't you see why the enemy would come against our sense of belonging here? Here's why it makes me mad. Because it's not just about you belonging here to Asbury. Here's why it matters. We know the enemy is crafty, so let's just call him out. If he can get you to believe that you don't belong here at Asbury, he knows he has you. Because if you don't belong here at Asbury, guess what? Asbury is a Christian community. So then you're going to start to believe, well, because I don't belong at Asbury, then I must not belong in Christian community. And we're not the church, but if he can get you to believe that you don't belong in Christian community, then you might begin to believe that you don't belong in the church, that you don't belong in the family of God, and then he has you. He has you. Because you've watched National Geographic. Who does the enemy come after? The one who's alone. Don't you see what he's doing? Don't let him win. If he can get you to believe that you don't belong, then you probably won't believe that you belong in Christian community. Then you probably won't believe that you belong in the church. And then you probably won't believe that you belong in the family of God and eat your toast. He will eat your lunch every single day. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. The enemy has given you, the enemy will come at you all the time, sowing seeds. But here's the thing. In Christ Jesus, you have everything you need to come against it. Everything you need. If you are in Christ, he has given you himself. You're not just in him, he's in you. And it says in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God. He's given you every tool, defensive and offensive, to come against the enemy. It says, stand your ground in Ephesians 6. That means you're standing on ground that has already been won through Christ Jesus on the cross. You're standing on ground that is victorious. Stand your ground. Put on the armor. Armor up, Asbury. Because we know what he's doing. He's sowing seeds that say you don't belong here, and that's a lie. He can throw all the seeds he wants. They will only stick if you let them. They will only grow roots if you let them. Armor up. And don't just take my word for it. This is what Jesus says. In John chapter 15, he says, I no longer call you servants, because servants don't know the master's business. But everything the Father has made known to you, to me, I will make known to you. Belonging. Jesus is like, I'm giving it away. It's John 15. And he says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. And I've appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. You're no longer servants, Asburians. You're friends, friends of Christ. He chose you. He's appointed you. You have good work to do. Not for your glory, but for his. Purposeful work. Work that will bear fruit. Fruit that will last. You're chosen. You belong. If that's not enough, all right, Ephesians 1. Paul writes, for he, God, chose us in him, who? Christ. Before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For God chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. You belong here. You belong to him. Genesis 3, the fall, didn't mess it up. He had you in mind before the creation of the world to belong to him, to have a purpose, to be holy and blameless. This is God saying, everything I am, I'm going to share with you in Christ. In Christ. Christ is your belonging. Before the creation of the world, he had you in mind. Before the creation of the world, he said, you belong to me. Before the creation of the world, he said, I'm going to provide a way for you to belong to me through Christ. Not just to belong, but I'm going to share everything of who I am with you. Ephesians chapter 2 in the Message version. It talks about Christ on the cross tearing down all the walls of hostility, breaking down any barrier that we had between Jew and Gentile. It says, you're no longer wandering exiles or foreigners. You have as much right to the name Christian as anyone else. You belong here. You belong here. Not because I say you do, but because Christ already made it possible in his work on the cross. Don't let the enemy take any ground in your life to say you don't belong. I'm going to war against him. Will you? Because Christ has invited us to get out of the kids' table. There's no kids' table in the kingdom of God. If you're in Christ, you have as much rights and access to the Father as anyone else. You're not a stepchild. You're not in the living room, in another room. You have full access to the Father. You get to participate in the full inheritance of what it means to be a child of God through Christ Jesus. You belong here. Don't settle for the kids' table, because this isn't the wild, wild west of Christianity. We've already lived through that in America, and it's a pretty big mess. The first time I got moved to the big table, the adult table, I didn't know what to do. But guess what? The people around me taught me. That's what families do. You're like, I don't know what to do. That's all right. You're in the best community to learn how to walk with Jesus that I know of. You might not get it right. You may spill some stuff. You might use the wrong fork. Who cares? Sit at the table. Where do you have the hard conversations in a family? Mine, we had it at the table. The disagreements, because we sat there and we dialogued and we had conversations. Where did I get called out and offered grace? At the table. You are invited to the table. Take your spot at the table of God, because you belong here. And the next time the enemy says, you don't, if you don't have a reason to say you do, come talk to me. I have lots of reasons in Scripture to point you back to the fact that you belong here. Time's up, Asbury. I'm done with the enemy waging war against our sense of belonging. Armor up. Let's go. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Jesus. In you, we belong. We belong to the family of God. And right now, I pray against any scheme of the enemy against this community that would come against our sense of belonging. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to armor up, to stand against those schemes, to band together as a community, a place where we can be fully known and fully loved, a place where we can bring all of our mess and learn to walk in grace, learn to walk in your healing, learn to walk in your freedom. Thank you that you say we belong here. Lord, attune our ears to hear only your voice. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.